The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, a very tired Craig Petty.
And me, a very tired Lloyd, but not as tired as you. I am so fucking living in the moment of you fucking being late for a podcast for once.
Or not. Never happens normally. I normally move hell and high water. Like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning over here. I got to bed very late and I'm still fucking waking up to do this podcast. But I had like 16,000 connections from the UK to Columbus, and every connection was late except for the last one. So even though the first connection was late, when I got to wherever the fuck I was going, Amsterdam or something, the next connection was late, and the next connection. So it was all good. And then, unfortunately, and you know what it's like, when I got to New York and having to get through Homeland Security in New York. And I had like an hour. If I'd been there on time, I had 2 hours to get through Homeland Security, get my bags, recheck them in, and get to the gate. I had 2 hours. But as it happens, I had an hour. By the time my plane was flying away, I was still queuing up at Homeland Security. So I missed the plane. And I was like with Delta for ages trying to get something sorted. They eventually gave me a hotel. Like 10 miles away. So I had to get over to this hotel. I got there at like 12:30, but I had to be back because they'd rescheduled the flight to like 8-9 o'clock the following morning. So I had to be back at 6. So in the airport. So I had like about 4 hours sleep and then caught a taxi back over to the airport and finally made it to Columbus. And yesterday was a full-on day and today's going to be even more full-on because I'm working all day. And then I'm doing a show in the P3 Theatre tonight. So
just to say, the difference between a flight with one stop and a difference between a flight with four stops or four connections, whatever it was, is £200. 650 quid for a one-stop flight and 850 for a four-stop flight. I can't fucking believe they wouldn't give you... That's fucked up.
But as a business owner, I get it. You know, what you do as a business owner is you look for ways to cut costs. If you think about how many people they fly in and how many people are flying in, you know, that's the sort of thing that has a massive impact on the bottom line. It's kind of like, you know, all these small moments make to a really big, massive
artist impact. Satisfaction, though, is you can't put a price on that.
No.
Not the big dog anyway.
But I'm, you know, who am I? I'm a fucking nobody, so, you know. I'm surprised they didn't tell me to get into the Atlantic Ocean and swim, but, you know.
Anyway, apart from, well, you know, I'm giving you grief about being late. You called me yesterday, and I completely forgot about the podcast because I was in a coffee shop with Harry Harrington.
Yeah. Let's do it at 10 o'clock. It'll be 5 a.m. my time, but I'll be up and I'll do it. I call you at 10 o'clock to tell you I'm just not going to be able to do it. And you're like, it's not a problem, Craig, because I'm going to be here. I'm currently, no, you've got Irish. That's not a Welsh accent. Yeah. I'll be Gara. My name's, wait, I can't just fucking do it. I'm too tired. You know, you were in a coffee shop with Harry Harrington, Lord Harry Harrington. Definitely not ready to do a podcast.
Well, the thing was, actually, I kind of was, because he messaged me at 9:20 saying, I've got a gig half an hour up the road from me at 10:30. Do you want to meet for a quick half an hour cup of coffee? And I was so like dazed and confused. I couldn't think of a valid excuse to say fuck off, as I normally would to everyone. So I was like, yeah, got out of bed, showered, whipped up to the coffee shop, and then from 9 to 9:30, sorry, I met him, to 10, I was having coffee, and then it was go straight back to the podcast with you. And I was going to figure that you'd be late anyway, because I know traveling always like delay shit. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of banking on, but I didn't think you'd be 24 hours late. I thought it'd be 24 sorry. Minutes. I don't give a fuck. I was glad not to do it. You know me. I can't stand doing this shit.
How are you though? But because I mean, you've got last week we talked about Dex, and obviously you're filming Dex over in Miami, so that's all really exciting coming along.
I'm good. Enough about me. I woke up. I didn't even know. I mean, I know what it was. I woke up. The first thing I seen was a trailer for you, for Gatekeeper.
What? I don't know about this.
What?
This is ridiculous, right? Okay. Penguin, tell me dick. They tell me nothing. You know, like, we've got a product coming out with Murphy's soon.
Are you sure they're not just human trafficking you? Like, they're not telling you anything. They're not showing you anything. They're putting you on the most disgusting flights imaginable to humankind. You're currently in a fucking dingy little dark hotel room, and there's a guy called Mandingo waiting to come in and service your asshole on the outside the balcony.
What? You know, I've got a trick coming out with Murphy's in about 3 or 4 weeks. For the last 2 months, you and George and your team have been like, literally, here's some graphics. What do you think of this? Here's a trailer. What do you think of this? Here's this. What do you think of this? Every step of the way. I've been at fucking the P3 Theatre all yesterday, and they never told me that a trailer was dropping. They took me out to dinner last night and they never told me a trailer's dropping. People are like, oh, how come you don't keep us informed with what tricks are coming out with Penguin? Because I fucking shoot them and, like, just hope that at some point they'll see the light of day. I don't. They never tell me anything, ever, anything.
I'll send you a link.
Let me ask you a question.
Here's a little link for you. I'll send it to the chat window. There you go. Gatekeeper.
Thank you. Good fucking grief.
I feel like just giving the team at Penguin a little hug and saying, be better.
Well, in all fairness, is it a good trailer? I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. It's good. It's a short, it is. So they're putting it on to pre-order. But it's really well shot. It's really well cut. It's only like 60 seconds because it's just like a pre-order trailer, but it looks great.
Awesome. Yeah, well, Gatekeeper is something I shot last time I was here. And it's a standalone.
Tell everyone what it is.
Well, it's basically, I got Peter Nardi's permission to do this. So if you remember, Pete brought out, I think it was Dave Lucely and Daniel Bryan, I think from memory it might be. Yeah. They brought out something called... I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was that trick where you punch a hole in the card.
And you stretch the hole.
Yeah. You stretch the hole. And the whole premise behind it was, hey, if you can push this coin through this hole in this card, I'll give you money. And then they physically stretch it and drop it through. Looked amazing. Looked really good. And when I was filming Keymaster, I said to the guys, which was probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, I said to them, you know what? It would be really great if we could somehow create something that would allow us to do that with the key and stretch a hole down the key. And I said, let me speak to Pete. And I spoke to Pete and I got his permission to do it into a key. And I said, right, we've got Pete's permission. 2 weeks later, Seth raised his team and sent me a prototype. And I'm like, this is incredible. And I've been working it now for over a year, filmed it last time. And the reactions we got for this trick, I don't know if they're showing up on the trailer or the mini trailer there. Yeah, the reactions were incredible. Like Dalton, who was filming it, he said, dude, if we could throw a Netflix logo at the beginning of this trailer when it's done, people would think it's a TV magic special. I had people running away for this key trick, which is in essence, you take the key and you say, hey, if there's a hole in the key, if you can push this coin through the hole, I'll give you $50 or whatever. And then they're trying it and they can't do it. And they hold onto the key. While they're holding onto it, you just literally do this. And the hole just slides.
Nobody could see what you did.
So, okay. But you just hold, you get them to hold on to the key themselves, and you just literally slide the hole down, and it runs down the entire length of the key, and you give them the coin, they drop it through, and they can see that that coin is going right through that hole. It looks incredible. And then immediately you go boom, and you put it back together, and you you give them the key. And it's that, it's such a great opener, because it involves money, gives people a chance to win money, but it's super visual, super magical. It's great. But what we did is we made the key so that it matches the Keymaster gaffes. So if you've got Keymaster, it's identical in terms of the type of key that we've used. So you can incorporate it into your Keymaster routines. But it's also, if you haven't got Keymaster, you can do it as a standalone bit. And sometimes I'll do it as a standalone bit. Sometimes I'll do it as part of Keymaster. It very much depends.
So it's quite modular, like in the sense that you can incorporate it or into the routine of Keymaster or use it as a standalone.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks so super visual. I remember you showed me the first time, showed me this for the first time. I think we were in Smoke and Mirrors.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting it because I was familiar with Keymaster, you know? Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really, really fucking good. Really, really, obviously very, very fucking practical as well. Yeah, super visual, really organic. And I love that you say in the trailer at the start of the video, I don't know if you could hear it or not, but you say, like, what's more everyday carry or EDC than your keys?
Yeah.
Because at the minute, everyone is posting like that EDC group. It's like, oh, this is my EDC. And it's a fucking briefcase. It's a two oxygen tank. It's like, mate, you don't understand what an EDC is, you dumb cunt.
Yeah. Like, for me, EDC, it should be something that organically fits into your wallet that look like, okay, so Keymaster or wallet or keys. So Keymaster is a perfect example. Another good example is EDC. They're receipts, they fit in your wallet. It makes sense that they would be in there. Another good example is something that would fit on your phone that doesn't look like a phone app, like Cognito, for example. So it looks like you're just using some photos out of your phone. Anything like that for me is an EDC. An EDC is not a special pack of cards that you have to carry around and bring out, or a sponge ball or something like that. It's just my opinion. It has to be something that it looks like you've got nothing on you and you've pulled something out. And you can just do magic with it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. My opinion on an EDC is like something that like seamlessly, that you carry on you seamlessly, that doesn't seem like it's for magic, you know? So like a wristband, a set of keys, I don't know, a necklace, a finger ring. That's EDC in my head. I'm going to sneeze.
I can tell. I see it coming on your face for about 2 or 3 minutes. I was like,
That's what she said.
darling. But yeah, I'm glad Gatekeeper's out. I'm surprised that's the first one out. I filmed 8 last time.
What were the other ones?
Surprised. Genuinely, I can't even remember. I can't even remember. I'm losing track of them all, to be honest. But I definitely didn't think that one was the first one. I've got this thing coming out called Magic Button, which I thought would be the first one that came out. But it involves a special. I've shown you that one. It involves a specially printed deck of cards, and I imagine they haven't.
You keep talking as I sneeze.
Yeah, he's just sneezing constantly. Like you ought to just see him. It's like over and over again.
Don't throw me. Bad.
But yeah, I'm glad that one's come out first because I'm going to be on the Magic Live stand, and Magic Live, and if they have it on pre-order, I'm guessing they're going to have it at Magic Live, which is great because I just want people to see. I want people to see how good this is, and I can't wait to show people. The other thing that I know, right? Ironically, they did tell me about something that's coming out at Magic Live that's dropping in the next week or two. Not one of my own products. No, why would they fucking tell me about that? But they've told me about somebody else's, but one that I was involved in. So when I was here last time, you know, like I've kind of helped with some Penguin products in the past. So I've done like Andrew Niner's
Boombox, the Chapstick Trick. And
Chapstick Trick and a bunch of them over the years. So I last time I was here, I filmed a product called Capsize. And Capsize is by Seth Race. And that's dropping at Magic Live. So I reckon that it'll be on the Penguin site very, very soon. I love Capsize. I really do. It's another EDC. I mean, you should relate to it. It's a bubble cap magic using coins. But the difference is what it is it's bottle caps. And they've built the slot box principle into bottle caps. So, yeah, so you can like literally, you get two caps. You get a red one, you get a black one. And you can do miracles with them. So you can, and I've got about, I think, 10 routines on the project, and I came up with a whole bunch of funky moves with them, including something called a cap ping chen, which is like a hang ping chen from a cap and stuff. But the whole idea is...
just for the name alone, that's amazing.
But you can take the cap, and you can take some coins, it's quarters and 10 pences, and you can literally just go nuts with it. And you can do, I put on there coins to table, coins across, coins to glass, whole bunch of different stuff. But here's the thing that Seth has done really well with it. It looks like a normal cap. It's designed to screw onto a normal soda bottle. So you can literally put it onto your soda bottle if you're at like a party or something, and you can say, hey, you want to see a trick? And you can just unscrew it and you can just take it and you can just say, hey, lend me some coins, and you can go into it. And I love pro caps. You know, I do. I am so proud of being part of pro caps. But the one thing that pro caps didn't have is that ability to screw it onto a bottle cap. It was, you know, it was something you had to bring out your pocket. Because of how the gaff was made, it was impossible to be able to do that. This is a totally different thing. And it looks, you could give somebody the true story. I'll tell you this very quickly. So when Penguin asked me to be a part of this cap-size project, they didn't tell me, you know, I'm seeing a pattern here, but they sent something through the post, and they sent it, and I opened it up, and it was just two fucking bottle caps. And I must have spent about an hour looking at these bottle caps. And from my point of view, they were just normal fucking bottle caps, Lloyd. And I ran to Sean. I'm like, Sean, why have you sent me two bottle caps? And he's like, oh, we want you to, it's Seth's new trick. We want you to work on it. I was like, but they're just bottle caps, Sean. And then when he told me what it was, and I spent an hour looking at these things and not knowing what was gaffed about it. And when he told me and I realized, I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah. And because of the method it's using, it really would be invisible, that gimmick, unless you know exactly what to look for.
And also, it's not slotted around the whole of the base, just around one quarter of the cap, and that's all it needs to be.
I'm talking about the elements of your gatekeeper trick on Penguin. Sorry.
Right. I'm glad you are. Yes, I didn't even fucking know. So there's two tricks that I know are coming out very soon from Penguin that I'm involved in. I'm finding out about the first one today, but cap size is coming out very, very soon, and that's awesome.
Yeah, but so is that out yet, or is that for Magic Live only, did you say?
I think it's going to be hitting the site in the next week or two, maybe even earlier. It's definitely going to be at Magic Live.
Oh my gosh, dude, sorry, I'm watching this gatekeeper performance. They missed the audience's faces for like a large part of the reaction, but they did get a little bit. But it's so good. So good.
Fuck. It's really organic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Can I get one, please?
Yeah, I'll send you one. I'll have them here. So I'll bring one back from Magic Live and just send it you over.
When's Badger? Is it on the 5th of August or something?
Yeah, so I'm currently here. So I'm filming. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I was with Eric Tate in the studio all day yesterday, where I'm here to do one project. That's it. I'm here for 4 days to do one project, which will give you an idea of the scale of this. Because normally I'm here for like 7 days to do multiple projects. I'm here for 4 days to do one project. And it involves doing two shows in the theater. So there's two public shows that they've put on in their theater that they've sold tickets to for the public. Thursday and Friday, and those shows are going to be the live performances for this incredibly big project.
I know what it is, but yeah. I can't say anything. It's going to be mammoth. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, it's so cool. So all day yesterday, you know what it is. So all day yesterday, all day today, Eric was doing 1,000 of the things that you need for the thing without giving too much away. You know what I mean?
You know what, like the approx. Oh, you did actually tell me, but for everyone else at home, whatever this project is, do you know like the approximate release date?
So I can tell you the exact release date of it. The release date is the Blackpool Magic Convention in 2024. And I'm telling you here right now, I'm going to be on the Penguin Stand at Blackpool when I can be, because I obviously run around like a blue ass fly at Blackpool, but I'm going to be there. And this is kind of the biggest thing that I've ever done by far.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But I think we should start talking about that more as it gets closer to the time.
Mm. But talking about that, I mean, we've got, you're going to be seeing a new trick coming from Murphy's and Craig Petty very, very soon, right?
Yeah, that's coming out. Well, I think dealers are going to have access to it, or at least people are going to start seeing it in about... When does Magic Live start?
Magic Live is on this 6th, I believe.
So about 3 days' time.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 days' time, they'll start.
I think that it'll go online shortly after that.
I mean, this is the Magic Podcast. We can say whatever the fuck we want. Why don't you... No, I won't let you say a little bit, because you will just go, right, this is the project.
Like, you're talking about somebody who was specifically told not to say anything about the quantum deck at Blackpool, and I basically went out in my lecture and gave away the method. So, yeah, you might want me to be stupid, be silent right now, Lloyd.
Even worse than that, Quantum Deck 2, I've seen 3 fucking videos on it on your bastard YouTube page.
I'm hyping it up. I'm creating hype. I'm not talking about what it is at all. It's not going to be called Quantum Deck 2, so nobody's going to know.
Well,
people ask me my release. I'll stop talking. I'll be quiet now.
Specifically, don't mention it as Quantum Deck 2 was a conversation that was had, and you've made 3 videos saying Quantum Deck 2 is coming. Craig's next release is coming out. It's going to be released to the dealers at Magic Live, or in time for Magic Live. Or at least they'll be able to pre-purchase it at Magic Live. So they'll have it in store when everyone gets home. And I believe you are going to be demoing it on the stand that you're on.
Yes, I am. Yes.
But it's all good, because it'll work into your set sort of thing. So it's sort of seamless. And also Penguin will be selling it too, like after Magic Live. But I'm trying to be careful, because I don't want you to fucking give anything away. There's a type of magic that I'm not fussed on, but I'm slowly being converted to. Yeah?
Mm, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And it's one of the most popular pieces of magic, or style, not style, what would you call it? A category of magic?
Genre, maybe?
Category of magic. Super popular about 10 years ago, or 8 years ago. It became ultra popular because of one major release that came out, and at least the category or the genre of magic itself. Now, almost every Giga magician has a trick like this in their set, using one of these classic things. But what you've created, and I don't know if you were the first to discover this, but certainly the first to ever make this, is that there's the number one most common object for any close-up magician has so many similarities that actually are like one of these. And what you did is you flipped it on its head and combined them into something which, oh fuck me, how I'm making a pig's ear of this, mate.
I'm just staying silent, because I wouldn't be able to do any better.
It's very difficult. What it does, though, is basically any trick that you already do with this object, you could 100% enhance it with what you created using a magician's favorite number one tool. And you could do a million more things without the object using the new thing. There's 5 hours of tutorial, is there?
50 no, there's
tricks.
Not.
No, 9 hours of tutorials, 50 tricks. Yeah, I was thinking something else. 9 hours of tutorials, 50 tricks, four people in total. So not just you, but there's 3 other people that have giant spots in it. Actually, it's a four-volume project, sort of masterworks on what this is. And it's absolutely epic. And I would, regardless of working at Murphy's, whatever company I was at, if I was to see this as just a unbiased person, I've watched it, I actually really fucking love it, and I really want one, because there's ways that I can...
When I went to you with this, And I said, this is what I've got. I went to you with the finished product, didn't I? I'd actually gone and created it beforehand. And I said to you, what do you think of this? And George wasn't aware. He was away for like a couple of months. I don't know why he was away. And you just looked
at it. I think at the time.
Yeah, he had a baby or something. And you just looked at it and you were just like, I'm green lighting that right now. We need it. We want it. We've got to have it.
Yeah, well, like the process generally for anything that comes in is that it gets sent into the Murphy's studio department, and then they take a five-man vote. And if it gets three votes or more, so it's like the balance of it, then it, the product gets turned into a project, or that it gets turned into a project. And in rare occasions, when something is just undeniable, you could, I sort of get like veto power. So I just get to say, this is what we're doing. And I think I've used that, I say power. I think I've taken the liberty of doing that twice, I think. And I nearly said what it was. It was the first time I did it. George came back from being away and I said, I've already approved payments, everything.
And here's what's ironic. I don't remember because I shot Gatekeeper so long ago, but I think that it's the shortest project I've ever done. It's not even a project. It's like 25 minutes. It's a normal tutorial for people because there's nothing really to say about it. This is what it is. This is what it does. Here's three different ways of handling it. Job done. You compare that with this thing that's coming out soon, it's exactly the opposite. This is 9 hours. If this was in the old days and this was a DVD set, this would be a 4-DVD set, which is why you had the amazing idea of making it a 4-volume project so that people can kind of take it volume by volume as opposed to being overwhelmed by the sheer amount of content on there.
I'm searching for the best comparison or a similar comparison to give so people can understand or get a grasp of what this is without just flat out giving it away. Basically, anyone who gets this or when you see what this is, I'm pretty certain that anyone that's performed magic or has an interest in magic will go, oh. I have this. I want to do this with it. I want to do that with it. This is the way I would use it. This is the way I would. Like, everyone's going to have their own, going to be able to bring something of their own selves to the table with this. It's there's so much you can do, and that's why there's four different people involved. There's you. I can't say the other ones because it'll give it away. But
we will tell you that one of the. I think one thing that I can say. This is what he's going to tell me. I can't say it, but I think I'm okay. One of the people that are on this project.
Okay,
he's an incredible mentalist and goes through for an hour and a half mentalism applications with this, which was very important to me because I knew with how the product was, there would be mentalism applications, and I'm not an incredible mentalist. I wanted an incredible mentalist to be a part of this.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's visual applications, mentalism applications, what's the word I'm looking for? Like presentational applications where you can just enhance something that you're already doing with that prop, with the other prop, you know, or whatever it's called. But
I think it has the possibility of being a mainstay. You know, like sometimes a lot of the time tricks come and they go, and they come and they go, and like 2 months later you've forgotten about it because the next best things come out. And then you've got something like Quantum Deck, which is kind of basically stuck around forever. You know, it's become one of those gaff decks. When people mention ACAM, they mention the Quantum Deck, you know, as hey, you should get the Quantum Deck. It's something that, and I know from my royalty checks, it continues to sell. Yeah. I believe that this could achieve the same sort of thing. I think this is something that the people that use the prop that you're talking about have been crying out for something like this. Well, I got a quote from, I would say, the person that is most well known for using the prop that this is associated with. And he called this a game changer in this genre.
Yeah, here's the key thing. Most magicians that use this, that perform this genre of magic or use this object in their shows or this, gadget thing in their performances. So many magicians try to shoehorn in their favorite tool and to incorporate in ways with it. And almost all of them don't really work. I don't know the magicians that say, well, actually, I do this using that. And my performance is really, it, like, it does, but it's like, do you remember, like, one of the tricks that I hate the most, or combination of things, like when somebody takes a deck of cards and they try to do a coin trick with a deck of cards just because they love coins and cards, or they try, another one is rubber bands. They try and use rubber bands and playing cards. And most of the tricks is like the coin just finds it halfway down the deck, or the rubber band finds one card. And it's just like, it just feels like it's just jammed together. And that's kind of how it feels when I watch magicians perform using this object plus their favorite tool. And what you've kind of done is just wiped the slate clean and gone, this is what you actually fucking have needed. And this is why it actually makes perfect sense that you didn't even realize, which I was, as soon as you said, oh, this has, and this has, I was like, oh my God, why does nobody ever fucking, it's like finding out they put fucking wheels, they invented the tin can before the can opener sort of moment. It was like, this is fucking stupid. And that's why I had veto power to go, a product that's been, that there's just been a literal blank space on a shelf here for the last fucking 10 years and longer. And then also, like, the way it was made, I gotta be very careful to not give anything away, but it's made by the best. So.
Oh, the person who made it for me is the best in the industry.
Yeah. So there we go. Hype enough? I don't mean, it's not hype. I'm just trying to be careful.
You and me love magic. That's why we do what we do. We love magic. And this podcast is just about us expressing our love of magic. That's what this is. You know, it's not, it doesn't serve a particular purpose like the Black Art Project does, which, you know, really, if people want to learn how to be more creative, they should listen to. This is just our ramblings and our it's almost like a love letter to magic, why we love magic. And one of the things that we love is we love getting excited about new magic, whether it's ours or somebody else's. And we're both in a situation where we're privy to stuff coming out that a lot of people aren't. And we like to share as much as we can without getting in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, the privilege that we come from, I suppose, and it is a privilege position that we come from, is that at least the money that I make, I make zero money from any trick that I sell or any trick that anybody else sells, because the way I earn money is through different means. So I don't have any financial gain to hype anything up, you know what
and
I mean?
And you wouldn't.
You're too ethical. And I could just be like a full-time video editor at Murphy's, or I could just be a full-time product acquisition guy at Murphy's. But I just genuinely am excited by this. And I get nothing extra for being excited by it.
Talking about things that we're excited about, are we allowed to say anything about this at all?
About what?
Look at the screen. No.
I don't know if we can or not, but it's definitely not my product to talk about. So I couldn't give an affirmative on that. But it is going to be the trick of the year.
Oh, it's going to be the trick of the year, guaranteed. Hey, I'll tell you something I found out about. A new Penguin release that is incredible. I just saw it yesterday, and it's brilliant, and it's going to be hitting the shelves very, very soon. Do you remember Eric Casey's Poker Thing 2.0, where you show the blank cards and you close them, and they've got blue backs?
Yeah.
You close them, and it prints into red backs and royal flush. You know that thing? A lot of people use it as an opener because it's really quick. You can just have it in your top pocket. You can bring it out. You know, and you do that little observation test. What do you see? Blank cards. What do you see? Blue backs. Did you see it change? You know that poker test 2.0, you know, Eric Casey's poker test 2.0.
Yeah.
You know that, yeah? So they've got a version of that coming out by Eric Casey as well. You know the method to poker test 2.0, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've created a version all based around oil and water. Think about it for a minute.
Oh, wow. Just spread the mix, spread again.
Yeah. It's a really quick thing before you go into a bit or lead into a longer routine. I saw it and I was like, that's smart. That's really clever.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's going to be great, actually, thinking about it out loud.
Yeah. So lots of really good stuff coming out. I want to ask you a question, actually, Lloyd, moving on. Do you know Greg Gleason?
I've heard you talk about him a number of times.
I've got a lot of respect for Greg Gleason. A lot of respect for him. He's a magician, an illusionist, a creator. He lectured at Blackpool last year. He's just great. He's really, really good. I've got so much respect for him.
Why do I feel like you're going to be like, but?
No, there's no but.
Okay, it's the way he was setting that up. I was like, wait, what the fuck's happened?
I know you don't really do the social media thing very much. And he's posted a question on Magicians Only that I noticed yesterday that's got a lot of interaction. And I thought it's something that we could talk about because it's an interesting discussion point for the podcast. And yeah. Greg said, I love seeing all these ads for magic dealers showing the newest tricks, boasting they take no skill. Do them immediately. What kind of talent takes no practice? In 50 years of magic, I can't name one magician I admire or look up to that doesn't have a degree of skill. How did they get that skill? They know to be good at anything, it takes practice and a lot of it. Not some new flavor of the day trick that looks good in a 5-second video shot from an advantage angle. Why do magic dealers constantly use the term no skill required, perform it out of the box as a selling point? You know, is this bringing magic down, you know, in terms of that's basically the question. I thought it was a very interesting question.
Super good question.
And I thought it's something that we could talk about.
So the way I perceive it is that, first of all, bang on, 100% right, that you have to practice magic. But I think certain tricks are designed for niche markets. So people who do like maybe electronics or cardistry type stuff, or, you know, if it's a coin book where it's very skilled coin stuff. So, but some tricks are, I wouldn't say like, oh yeah, kind of like tenure tricks in a way that like they have mass commercial appeal to the mass general magic market. As in, it's a trick that it's, say, for example, a card trick that it's a visual that almost every performer could fit into their act. Right. So that in some way, shape, form, at least close up or whatever it's going to be. And with that, it means that the trick usually has a broad audience and a bell curve from young, old, middle age, skilled, amateur, professional, like incredible dexterity, like, one of the Buck twins or Greg Wilson or someone, all the way down to somebody who, for whatever reason, maybe they've got arthritis or they don't have the ability to be, or they're a beginner, they don't have the chops yet. But this trick is still doable. And I think some performers would see a trick and go, oh, I don't think, I would love to do that trick, but I know I don't have the ability for XYZ reason. And it appeals to those types because what you need to practice is your presentation, which doesn't require any dexterity or any physical skill. Do you know what I mean? So some certain effects I see when it says like performs out of the box mean I take it as, oh, okay, my physical dexterity skill level, this can be done, this can like A to Z be done by anyone. The inherent obvious like unspoken understanding is that you'd have to practice your performance.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. 100%. Yes.
Because look at a trick like Invisible Zone by Luba, right?
Yeah. Luba Lens.
Invisible Zone, where you put the pen through the middle.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know Luba created that. Oh, yeah. Lens of Luba. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Luba created that. I'd say the skill level on that is close to zero. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's close to zero. One of the best, most visual, most fooling tricks ever. If that was to be advertised today, I would say perform straight out of the box. Do you know what? The funny thing is, I actually bought this trick as a kid. I wasn't into magic. I knew nothing about the magic industry. There was an arcade in Swansea called Shoppers Walk. There was a joke shop there. I actually bought my first few little pieces of like semi-professional, not professional, but like more than just kids' magic tricks there. And one of them was Invisible Zone. I must have been about 8 or 9. And I was performing it within 20 seconds, 30 seconds of learning the secret.
Yeah.
And that trick, absolutely, I would be 1,000,000% confident letting a pro performer take that to a restaurant gig. I mean, look, check this out, watch this, boom, fry everyone, impress everyone. And I would be happy to say requires zero skill level, because mm-hmm. it does. It just, you know, apart from just sort of hiding pen. I mean, I was a kid and I could do it. But it's about the performance. That's what you have to practice, is your presentation and performance. But saying it requires zero skill level, it's not a negative.
No, not at all.
It's not a negative whatsoever, because there's some tricks that just don't require any skill to do, to actually go through the motions A, B, C. They require little to no skill, but you do require practice to perform.
I agree with everything that you've said. The other thing that's worth noting is there's a big, massive difference between performing magic and the magic industry in terms of buying and selling magic tricks to magicians. You know, you have to understand that any dealer or any producer that puts out a trick, they want that trick to be successful. That trick has to be successful, because even the small, like, you know, we've talked about this new trick I've got coming out with Murphy soon. I can only imagine the cost that it's got to get it to a point where it's going to market, paying the designer to design it.
Don't say anything else.
there's a hell of a lot cost that's involved in bringing any trick to market, and you know you want that trick to be as successful as it can, and you do that by pointing out, you know, the fact is, look, most trick, people like, that buy amateurs. Sorry, say again.
Yeah, sorry. Look at a trick like is it called Cosmosis by Ben Harris, where the match floats?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as close to zero skill level required, because the only thing you can do for that trick is to fucking slightly bend a card.
Yeah.
You know, you're using micro movements in your fingers just to bend the card enough for it to float. You couldn't even say only perform if you're an expert. You couldn't, it can only be advertised as zero skill, other than like, don't bend your card completely in half, you dickhead. You know what I mean? And also, you're making a really good point there. Like, some people don't want to be pro magicians. Some people just want to take a magic trick to, and I say some, I mean a huge majority of.
Oh, the amount of questions that I get on my channel, and they're questions like, what are the best self-working tricks for magicians? What are the tricks that I can do that require no skill? I want to buy something to impress my friends down the pub. What can I buy that I can learn and do that same night? There's nothing wrong with that. Different people get into magic for different reasons. Different people love different things about magic. I love studying techniques. I love, you know, I'm currently reading this.
Oh, wow. Has that been
released? No, it came out a while ago, but I never managed to get it. I just got it. Patrick Page's book. It's incredible. But I spend so much time learning magic. I spend so much time learning sleights and techniques that I'll probably never use, because I enjoy it. But there's a lot of people out there that enjoy just doing tricks for their family, and they just want something simple.
We're sometimes just so deep down the rabbit hole that we forget about the outside world, or we don't, maybe, you know, I think it's pretty rude of me to say people that to assume someone's forgotten. But we're so, so deep in it sometimes that at least I definitely don't take into consideration that other factor of some people are the opposite. They have no concept of the difference between a bridge sized deck and a poker sized deck.
Yeah,
you know, they just want to show a cool trick at a party, and that's what they're looking for. And you are. Not every product, like I said, there's some that are tailored specifically to professional magicians and certain skill level magicians. But there are probably 90% of magic products on the whole, if you look at like however many thousand, 10, 20,000, 30,000 that's ever been created, maybe more, probably 90% are geared towards the everyman.
Yeah.
Maybe half, I wouldn't say, I'm really thinking about it, but like definitely not zero.
No, 100%.
So, yeah. I mean, the first thing I ever read in a magic book was, it was a little fucking opening chapter. And it was like, I can't remember what book it was, and I wish I could find it, but it was the first thing I ever was practice.
Yeah.
Practice. And they went on to talk about, like, that you practice, like, your performance, not your, you know, whatever the, I think it was like 21 self-working card tricks or 201 self-working card tricks, which, aside from just going through the motions, was self, you know, no fucking skill. And that's why the first chapter was, well, the first intro bit was like, you must just practice your presentation.
Yeah.
So I think it's completely fine to say this requires no skill, because most, a lot of tricks don't require any skill. And it'd be false advertising to say they do, but it doesn't mean they're not fucking incredible, but you do have to put work into your performance.
I agree. But it's a really interesting talking point.
I'm just editing a little bit of video. You carry on talking.
Sure. The other, before we talk about new products, I also wanted to give a shout out to the guys at the Magic Circle convention. I went there on Sunday with Rylan, and they did an incredible job. I had so many people say to me, is Lloyd going to turn up? Because they listened to the podcast where you were like, I think I'm going to go. I'm like, no, of course he's fucking not going to be here. Are you fucking joking? No. He says that thing on the spur of the moment, but he won't go. As soon as he like leaves his street, he'll start shaking uncontrollably.
I've done it sometimes.
You do make it occasionally. I can't dish you too much. You made it to Miami and back. But
Exactly. Yeah. So...
But it was a great convention. Really good from top to bottom. Mind to mind, brilliant. Harry Merlin Piper, Rodney Piper's son, was incredible. He opened the gala show at 12 years old, and he did like a 7-minute act that involved ventriloquism, it involved singing, and it involved magic. He had somebody, get this, Lloyd, this was incredible. So he does this whole puppet thing where he comes out with this puppet, and the whole routine, the whole act, he's doing some singing, typical stuff that you'd see with a ventriloquist, right? But really well done, especially for a 12, well, not for a 12-year-old, for anybody. But the very first thing he does is he just has someone say, look, we're going to need a magic word. We're going to need a name. I want to name this puppet. And I'm going to have somebody in the audience name the puppet. And Mandy Davis was on the front row, and he said, can you name the puppet? And she said, well, we're here at the Magic Circle, so let's call the puppet Devant. So it's like, okay, Devant. So he did his whole act. And then at the end, the finale was he brought his hand out from the puppet and written in massive black Sharpie marker all over his hand that was in his puppet the whole time was Devant. And it wasn't a pre-show. It wasn't stooged. It was one of the most magical moments that I've ever seen.
Good. That's fucking good. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, wow. I have shit like that.
12. He's got such a bright future, man. He's got such a bright future. He's
speaking
so good.
Kids in magic. Who's that little cunt that threw tomato sauce on me?
Oh, what you mean, Ryland, the little shithead Petty? Yes.
No, him. The other one that he was hanging out with.
Oh, Aidan McCann.
Yes,
Aidan.
A bastard. I was watching some Netflix show with Kaylee night before last. I was like, that kid looks like a right cunt. It was Aidan McCann. It was
I'll tell you something.
I'm Aidan, joking, by the way. I love Aidan.
Aidan is so talented.
I forgot he was on TV. Me.
His whole family are actors and actresses, and they teach and they have an acting agency. And so, like, this kid, like, he's currently, I think, over in Utah, like, filming a film with Kevin Costner. He's literally... When he's not doing magic at an incredibly high level and getting like golden buzzers and going through to finals and killing it, when he's not doing that, he's going out filming. Like, he is like unbelievable what he gets up to. And he's so funny. If you've seen him perform, he's so funny.
Oh, hilarious when he was throwing tomato sauce all over my bastard light colored jeans.
That was one of my favorite moments of that whole convention. I have to be honest.
It was actually he came up to me and Mark, and he was like, "Could I show you a magic trick?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he pulled out a little pot of travel tomato sauce, like in a jar. And he's like, put your finger in this jar of ketchup. I was like, no, I just have an aversion to ketchup. I hate it. He's like, no, please do it. And he's like, I can't show you the trick if you don't do it. I was like, well, put my finger in the sauce. I was like, I'm not doing that. And Mark's like, I'll do it. Like, okay, great. Yes, put your finger in this jar of sauce. So Mark went like, and he went, anyway, all right, what's the trick? And he's like, there is no trick. You've got your finger in sauce. I was like, oh, you little cunt. And then he just flung it all over him and Ryland just flung it all over me.
Oh. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. My son's a twat. And, yeah.
And you poured a pint of water for Grim, though, so.
I did. I kind of made it up to work for you. But
I'm gonna sell that video to the News of the World or something.
There's so many talented kids in Magic right now. Killian O'Connor, Aidan McCann, Ryland Petty, Harry Piper, Jasper Cherry, you know, the list goes on and on. Magic Maisie, some of the kids at the YMC, they're all incredible. There's this guy, I think 15, called Rafferty at the Young Magicians Club.
Rafferty Cooper, I know Rafferty, he's wicked.
So good, man. So good. And then you've got Henry, who always comes up to you at every convention he sees you and shows you a brand new card gimmick.
Oh, he's Henry Ferris. He's got a release coming up with Alakazam.
Yes, he has. I think I'm getting involved with the tutorial.
Of course you are. I think actually I have an effect on it.
Have you?
I think he texted me the other day or messaged me saying, do you have any routines to this? I was like, I'll have a think. I'll get back to you because I can't remember what I was doing, but I was like going from place to place. And then he's like, oh, you already do. You created this at the session. I was like, yeah, cool.
Don't even know. That's how often you create magic. But the kids in Magic are doing so well. They really are. I don't remember kids being as good at any other period in Magic. I've been in it a long time, and I don't remember the focus being on the kids so much as it is right now. Just, I think Russ Stevens has got a big part to play with that, because he's really, since Izzy Simpson, has been pushing for them to have like a spot on the Britain's Got Talent, and off the back of that, America's Got Talent. It's just, yeah.
This is before me, so take my name out of any conversation to do this. But I do think that, and this is going to be controversial to a lot of people, and they're not going to like it, but I'm pretty confident I'm right. I do think that YouTube has played a massive fucking huge role in converting thousands, hundreds of thousands of new magicians, or tens of thousands, however many there are. I don't know what the demographic is, but converting people or creating new magicians globally. YouTube, yep. I don't think people realize how big, like, the Spanish speaking, the Argentinian speaking, well, the same thing, you know, German speaking, Polish speaking YouTube channels are. They're fucking massive. They cultivate, like I'm all about channels like Scam School, Chris Ramsey. So many magicians that I meet are like, I got into magic because of this channel, because of that channel, because of this channel. And with that, and this is going to be the part which is more controversial, is that I think people are fast tracking their progress in magic because of this new era of delivering information and cutting away the fluff. It's not considered the right way or the respectful way to learn a lot of things. But I remember like when I first got into like sort of street magic and stuff like that, the first thing that I downloaded was Brad Christian's how to do street magic or something like that. And for its time, it was really good.
Man, that got so many people.
That was like the first proper like intro into like prop, you know, the way I say like proper magic. Like double lifts, ACRs, sandwich routines, two card Monty. Like it was the first like real learning experience I had. And if I was to learn that information the correct way or the traditional way, probably better to say, I would have had to learn all of that from books or old school VHSs, which they were designed to teach you over the course of a long period. And intrinsically, like it would teach you to practice and get it down. But I think it was going to go one of two ways. The next generation of magicians were either going to be a lot poorer for not doing it the traditional way if they learn from YouTube, or it would fast track their progress and success in magic. And the results are being coming to the forefront now, and and the results are positive.
I agree completely.
The skill level of magicians across the world, and I'm not saying because of YouTube, but because of this new era of content delivery, digital downloads for a start, video tutorials as opposed to books, everything. And then when people teach you things like on YouTube or other places where it's like, hey, you don't need to spend your time doing this because you can have the same result, but do this. Or here's something I actually learned that you which you wouldn't have known, or XYZ, you don't need to use rotten fluid. You can lightly rub a crayon and it does the same thing. XYZ, like all these tips and tricks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. The amount of people that come up to me at magic conventions or message me and they say, oh, I got into magic because of Magic TV. And that's just my YouTube channel. Yeah. I had about a few months ago, I had a message from somebody who said, hey, I just wanted to say thank you. I got into magic during the pandemic and it was because of your YouTube channel. I watch it religiously. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. I'm now full-time professional magician and it's because of getting into magic, and that's through finding Magic TV. I just wanted to send you a few of my performance videos for you to have a look at. Thank you so much. And I watched this guy's performance videos and he fooled the shit out of me over and over again. He was doing some of the most complex coin magic I have ever seen. And somebody who's into coins like me, I was watching it and I'm like, I've got no fucking clue what this guy's doing. And he was like 19 years old, full-time professional magician, skills like I've never seen before. And he's only been in magic for like a year or two, and it was because of YouTube.
Yeah. I had a similar experience. You know Antonio, who's going to be on a certain show with a certain kid that you know?
Oh, yes.
You know Antonio from Brazil. The first, so he makes some of the most incredible card gimmicks ever. Like, you know the crazy ones you see in the Blackpool vlogs? He's that guy who's always got like the crazy card gimmicks, and he's amazing at sleight of hand too. He came up to me and he was like, I had a phone call from someone. And then, this guy, Antonio, wants to speak to you. And he was fanboying over me because the first gimmick he ever learned was from me. And I literally cannot touch him. Like, he's so good. Like, stratosphere. But he got into gimmick making because of me. And now he's going to be on a live TV show. I can't, he's incredible. And we wouldn't have these people in magic if it wasn't for the places like YouTube that gets absolutely, by only a handful these days. Most of the people who are trying to fight against it have either come to terms with it or understand how much positivity it brings to magic. And there's only a minority that's left now that really are disgruntled against it. But I think you can't deny that the overwhelming positive. Like, for example, another thing is, and people don't like to talk about this stuff either, but magic in terms of the industry, which so many people put roofs over their head over, and aside from one or two companies that believe in it's not because they're failing, is in a golden era right now.
I 100%.
Never been anything like this. From playing cards to tricks to everything is just booming. And we wouldn't have that if there wasn't so many people in magic. And they're all finding it through things like Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, YouTube, all the places where traditionally 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even closer, the traditionalists would shit on. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's always a resistance to change for every generation. Yeah. I remember when I first got into magic and I started watching VHS tapes, not DVDs, VHS tapes, Vic Pinto's VHS tapes. And I remember going to I'd not really read many magic books at that point, and I'd got loads of VHS tapes. And I went to my first magic, I found a local magic society and I went there. And I was speaking to some people and they went, oh, no, you should never, ever just write books. Books is the way it is. You got to go with books.
That's all I was ever taught. Books, fucking don't learn from VHSs, da-da-da.
Yeah. Now, these days, very few people read books. I mean, it does happen, obviously. There's a market for it, but nowhere near as much as people that are visual learners that just want to get a download and learn the trick quickly. And I think it's because of how the world is changing itself. You know, information is accessible more freely. You can get information on anything very, very quickly using just a phone. So why would that not be the same as magic? And, you know, you have people that saying, oh, that's going to kill magic. No, magic is evolving.
And it's adapt or die. It really is adapt or die. And it's been like that, not just because of the live talent shows or online streaming platforms. It goes back to, you know, probably before the advent of books, you know, it was, you can only learn these tricks by finding a magician and convincing them to be your understudy. And then only from before that, you have to be related to them. You know, I'm not saying that was the way, but every generation, the media and information delivery changes and updates, and people have always fought against the tide, you know. And sometimes and there's certain things that there's probably delivery systems where we're like, oh, we don't even know that was even a thing because it failed. And the people who fought against that were probably right. But the stuff that works stays and then gets improved upon and changed again and adapted, you know?
Yep.
I think it's good. I don't know whether it's just because I've lived, I think I counted up with Kaylee the day. I've moved house a lot, like 19 times.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. I've been in this one for 4 years. And I love change. I love change. Like for me, it's the most exciting thing ever. I love trying new things. I love doing new things. And I like big, big, big foundational changes. So I always get excited when stuff like this comes around. But I do know that I'm probably not the average person. Like you said, most people hate change.
I like change.
Yeah.
Sarah hates change with a passion. She doesn't want to change anything ever. She just wants everything to remain the status quo. But she'll then say retrospectively, oh no, it's the right thing to do. If it wasn't for Sarah, I wouldn't even have a company. I remember when I was like setting up Nonstop Kids. Oh no, you don't want to do that. No, it sounds not a good idea. Set up Slight News. Oh no, you don't want to do that. I want to put an illusion show together. No, you don't want to do that. I want to start hiring other entertainers. No, you don't want to do that. Everything. Ironically, the only thing that she instigated was Magic TV. She said to me, hey, you should get back into magic and start doing more videos because you've been away for long enough and I can tell you miss it. I'm like, nah. And she actually pushed for that change. That was the only one.
Well, Kaylee's the same. She didn't want to move into this house that we bought. I was in the process of selling my first house. And she's like, I don't want to buy this one. Now we've got this one. We've made a fortune on it because of house prices and the work we've done. And I want to obviously buy a different house now because I like change. And Kaylee's like, no, I love this. This is my hope, forever home. Like this, we got, you know, we had baby Thomas there, we got married there. I'm like, yeah, but I fucking love change.
Do you love change when it comes to, because obviously you've done a lot within this industry. And what I mean by that is, you know, you originally set up Enigma. Then after Enigma, you went and worked for Illusionist. Then after Illusionist, you went and worked for Murphy's. And whilst working for Murphy's, you've really kind of pushed forward with Lloyd, the TV, the YouTube channel, Society of Secrets, and everything else that's attached to that. Do you think you'll ever find itchy feet? I mean, I know how happy you are at Murphy's because of the freedom they give you. But as somebody who likes change, would you ever go...
No, I really like it at Murphy's. I like big changes in terms of like my personal life and stuff like that. I like to make changes within the industry. Like I really like push for like releasing the instructionals if it's a trick that they can't just steal or rip off if it's a physical product. You know, a bunch of different things like that could go on a different tangent there. But I do know that there's certain parts of my life that I have to have locked down because I'm a bit of a wild child. And one of them is just having like a solid sort of thing that keeps me in check at a place like this. At Murphy's, like a really healthy environment to work in and lets me be creative, but not to the, if I was just like left my own devices to be creative, you would find me making like optical illusions inside a cave on a fucking wall. You know what I mean? Living off my own feces, emaciated and dead, because I need structure in certain elements of my life because like I can just go off on these hyper focus. Like I always say, if Kaylee goes away for a week, then she comes back I haven't showered, I haven't washed, I haven't eaten. I'm doing this like a kind of half joking. I'm in my pants, the curtains are closed, I've got a full 300-400 fucking torn up playing cards all around me. There's elastic thread. Nobody's heard from me, nobody's spoken to me. And she comes back. I don't even realize she'd been gone for a week. And she's like, what the fuck's been going on? Like, oh, I had an idea for a torn restore card, you know. So I need things in my life to keep me structured to a certain extent, because I am, I almost said a terrible word, but I am mentally not all there. So no, I mean, the only way I'd ever leave is if I won the lottery and fucking lived on an island and I wouldn't speak to anyone apart from my family.
Or Mark Murphy decided to lose the plot, not give a shit about the company, and start shooting laptops in the jungle.
Yeah. What about you though? What would it take for you to? Oh, like I was thinking about, I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was having a shit, and I was thinking about how I was watching one of your videos, and I was thinking about, like, you honestly post, you do so much. You post, is it still 27 videos a week? I was watching Hexology on the Craig test. You still post 27 videos a week. You still gig, I don't know, on average probably 10 times a week, I'd say.
Yeah.
You still run the Netflix. You still have slightly unusual nonstop kids. Do you have the Greg Petty TV Magic Shop now?
I do. Currently, it just has my stuff on it, but that might change.
You have a fucking Discord. Like, at what point? And also, like, you're doing your Ryland's like PA and assistant. I always think, like, what would it take for you to streamline stuff? Not to say to stop, but I mean, like, going Pareto, like 80-20. What here is giving you 80% back for 20% input, and what here is...
Well, I'll be completely honest with you, and I've not spoken about this at all. I've actually started doing less close-up gigs.
Really?
I'm still doing them, but probably massively less.
Yeah.
I'm just focusing on working on stage and just doing stage magic at the moment. So I think in the last month, I've probably done 4 close-up jobs.
Bloody hell. I mean, I think that's a good, apart from like it doing close-up gigs keeps you sharp, I don't think they're a good use of your time. And, well, I mean, I know you don't gig for money. Like, I mean, you get paid, but it doesn't scratch the surface of the income that comes from the companies. But yeah, I think less is more in that respect for close-up gigs for you.
Yeah, and I'm still performing close-up, but I'm really focusing on the stage stuff. And I'm taking time out for, I'm not going into the office at 9 o'clock every morning. I've really kind of leaned, we've just taken 2 new members of staff on, and we're leaning more towards them. For the last month, as you know, I've been on a health kick. For the last month, I've not been going in the office till about 10:30, because I've been going to the gym every day before I go into the office. So I've been
healthier.
Yeah, I've been cutting down a bit. But I get bored, dude. If I just sat there doing nothing, I just get bored.
I totally get the being bored element and keeping yourself busy, but it's like, not that this is the phrase, not that I think this applies to you at all, but it's almost like being a busy idiot. You know this is in business, when someone's a busy idiot, where they're doing 1,000 things, but none of them are, like 20 of them are paying off, or 20 of them are actually producing the goods. Like, I honestly, I've said this before, and I can prove this, because I think, and this is like the first time I'm really saying it, but on my channel, I realized that I was doing 3 videos a week, which I was like, remember 6 months ago, I was like, Craig, you need to do like less. You need to do at least 5 videos a week, or, you know, as 5. I think even that is old, outdated information for me, at least now, because I put up a video. Well, basically, I was doing 3 videos a week, right? A live, or trying to get a live. Well, I was doing a live on a Sunday, a fooler on a Thursday, and then a tutorial Tuesday. And literally, there's not enough time to make every single one of those videos good. As in, I was talking to Javier yesterday. I had this weird ego, and it's only like, I'm really shaking it off, but like my own arrogance got to me Because I was so proud of, like, oh, I create the trick on the day, I film it on the day, I edit it on the day, I take the thumb, you know, I did the whole tutorial Tuesday. It takes me, I can do it in 5 hours, start to finish. Who gives a fuck? Who's impressed by that? If I'm looking to get my video watched by everyone that's a subscriber on my channel, who's watching that video going, you know, so who's watching that video that's not edited to the best it could be, not filmed to the best it could be, it's not the best trick it could be because it was rushed, it's not the best made gimmick it could be, everything about it is a rushed job and just bashed out as quick as possible, who's watching that video going, I actually really enjoyed that video because I know it only took him, you know, half a morning to do. Like, it was only my own ego and arrogance that was doing that. So a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, do you know what? I've got a trick. I think it's a pretty decent trick. I'm going to spend an extra day. I'm going to spend a full day on it. So I'm going to film all the shots nicely. Then I'm going to edit it and spend a day on, like, the next half, the second half of the day, editing it. And I'm going to put a bit more time into the thumbnail. Anyway, this video, I shot it and edited it at my own leisure, but over the space of, like, 4 days. And it's on, for long-form content, this is good. Because it's not a short, but it's already at like 750,000 views.
And that's great.
Because I put a bit more time in. But if I had made a tutorial, right? So that went up a month ago, I think, or 3 weeks ago, yeah. So that means in that space of time, I could have done 3 Tutorial Tuesdays, 3 fuller episodes, and 3 live streams. And on average, a Tutorial Tuesday would say, a normal one would get like 10,000 views, or I don't know, but let's say a low one would get 10,000 views, a full will get 5,000 views, and a live stream, a 2-hour live stream will get like 2,000 views. So what's that? What did I say? 10, 5, so 15, 17,000, and it's been three weeks. So all of that combined, yeah, would have gotten me a total, so 17,000 views over times 3, would have gotten me 51,000 views in the space of 3 weeks. And I would have had to work like way fucking hard. I mean, I would have had to put in at least say like 1, 2, 3, maybe like 10 days of work total to do all of those. Mm. And if you divide, say, it's over 750,000, but divide that by 50,000, and I would have got that would have only got like 15%, or I've got 15 times more return from putting in a little bit of extra work on one video. It's do you know what I mean? Like Pareto is at play there big time. And I think for your channel, if honestly, do like, because I know it's hard to not good to go from 27 to 1, but do like 3 videos, but like fucking work really hard on them. Like make the edit slick, write a script for it. That's the one thing I never did before. And Javier taught me it. He was like, write a fucking script, write a shot list for your video, trust me, and do it properly. I did that and instantly, and it's the second time I've done that. The first time I did it, it wasn't conscious. It was like, I just had to categorize what I wanted to do. The second time I did that was for the Rubber Band Through Card. And that's like my second ever most played video on YouTube. So do you know what I mean, man? What I'm like, the numbers are proof, like absolute undeniable proof.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, the thing is, though, I don't really do the YouTube channel for views. I don't really do it for notoriety. I do it because I've got a bunch of information that I want to get out to people.
I know, I completely get that.
And it's the easiest way to get it out to people. I care about magic. I care, I believe, maybe egotistically, that I know a lot that would allow me to, that has got me to a point where I am right now, where I'm moderately successful. And I believe that sharing that will help. If it helps just one person, then it's worth me doing it.
But this is it exactly, right? If you look at a video of yours, right, and look at the average view duration, if you look at like a half an hour video of yours, if you look in the analytics, it'll say the average view duration, and it'll show you then that the average viewer, I'm not going to assume, but it won't be the full duration of the video. Never, right? It's very, very, like, almost impossible to get a plus 8 minute plus video watched from start to finish. And the thing is that if you really want to deliver the information that you know is worthwhile and you're so passionate about, then creating a video that the person who initially is interested and wants to learn that information is going to stop watching and not actually get the information from, then you inherently, you do want to make it more watchable, because the people that you've got into the video, which the information is relevant to, you'll be able to see in your analytics, they're not watching it, they're not learning, because they're clicking off at a certain point. And that's what I mean by making the video more watchable, putting more time into the edit, condensing it down. Even if it's just the moment where you just repeat what you say, because I do it too. I've had to learn stuff. Like literally just streamlining a video, spend an extra hour on the edit where you just go, look, I've said this three times, so I'm going to cut that out. I've repeated this three times. And suddenly your half an hour video goes down to a 15-minute video, but the retention is 15 minutes. And now people have actually... Because you're gonna, if you're making an informational video based video, you're gonna have a point to make. And if you don't, if they start at the beginning and you haven't, and they click off before you've made your point, they haven't learned.
Mm.
Right? So you haven't done your job.
No.
And by making 27 videos like that, where they're not watching, where they're clicking on but not watching them all, you're putting all this work in and nothing, and you're not getting it from, you're not coming out the other end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right.
You're not editing them. So you can say, look, guys, we're going to film less videos, but I want you to spend more time on the edits.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's a theory.
I totally get on board what you're saying. And in many ways, I totally agree with you. In many ways, I agree with you. I really do. Why don't we ask people down below, genuinely ask people down below, in the comments down below, obviously there's no comments on the podcast, but somebody who's listening to this, go and start a thread in the official discussion group.
Yeah.
And honestly, let me know what you think, because I know a lot of people, you know, I'm not after a massive fan base, and I know a lot of people, It's like different people like different stuff. Oh my God, I love the reviews that you do with Ryland. They're absolutely amazing. Oh, I love the advice videos. I love the videos you do with Matt. I love the 5x5s. Oh, my favorite part, the interviews. Oh, the Q&A is so valuable. Different people get different things out of the channel. And if I was to cut it down to say three videos, there would be massive, something would have to give. It wouldn't be the Ryland videos, because that's the thing that I do with Ryland. That's my favorite part of the week. Sitting down, learning those tricks and filming that with Ryland. I love the process. I love hanging out with him, learning new magic. But also I think that the reason he's so confident on stage is since the age of 7, he's gone and sat in front of a camera and performed magic and talked about it, which how many 7-year-olds do that? Like, and I, if you look at him when he was 7 and he did the first video, he sat there and hardly said anything. Now you can't shut him up, and he speaks very eloquently about magic and his opinions. And I think that a big part of what he's achieving now is because he did this review show with me. And, you know, that would never change. So that ain't going anywhere. People
I love them. I love the 5x5s. I love the there's so much of the channel that I love. What I'm saying is do the same amount of hard work that you put into it, but just focus more on a few less videos. So put that same amount of work in just some less. And I think, like, I used to get so annoyed, but I'd look at my analytics and someone would watch how, like, half the gimmick was made. And I could see, like, the average, okay, most people tune out just by here, right? And then I'd see people perform the trick online, and I think, oh, my God, you've literally ruined it, because you've missed the thing to me, which was really important. And I teach that here, and I know most people, you know what I mean? And yeah, just put the same amount of work into, same amount of effort, but into just streamlining it down. The Ryland video is great. The map test is great. The 5x5s are fucking amazing. The rants are okay, because they don't matter. If, you know what I mean? Like you can just put that on.
Me, the cathartic.
Yeah. But yeah, just try it, I think. Maybe just try it. See how it works out for you. I do get that there's two different channels. Maybe put some extra time into setting up the look of the shot, so it's a bit more enjoyable to watch. Because my goal is to have people watch my whole video. And that's why I said get my subscribers to watch it. The only reason it's got lots of traction is because when YouTube sees that it's watched all the way through, they promote it to other people. My goal is to teach people the bits which I find important about the magic, which sometimes, you know, not important to everyone, but I think magic is in the nuances.
Hmm. Yeah.
What do you currently, what video, what do you know your schedule? Like what is it like? Because there's a 5x5.
It has been cut down because 27 videos is made up of 7 shorts, and we do less shorts now. I don't sit there making 7 shorts. We do shorts if so. Michael will come to me and go, oh, that looks really visual. Can I film it for a short? But it's not something that we actively kind of really push for. The magic lives, a lot of the time, are taken from the longer videos because we find that some people like just watching performances on the channel. So like if we've done a review, for example, and we've performed this particular trick, Michael will take it and put it up as a live. Or let's say I've done a video on the 3 best self-working tricks of all time, and there's a performance of those 3 self-working tricks. Michael will take those 3 tricks and put them up as magic lives. So I'm doing massively less. I used to spend like so long doing live performances. I'm doing massively less of those now.
Here's one thing that I would like consider is, I love the Craig test. I love the map test. And let me look at the last Craig test was or the one I'm looking. I clicked on one. The first one I clicked on 3 months ago. So it's not the last one. It's probably the first one. What was the last one? Okay, I watched like Hexology, 27 minutes for one trick. Whereas, which is good, but I know I only watched half of that video. In fact, I can probably screenshot you how much of it. Actually, look, you can see the red line in this image here. Where am I sending it to on Zoom, right? Like you can literally see that I only watched half the video because I mentally tune out. Not because it's not a great trick and not because it's not a good video, but there's only so much to listen to about one trick going on. But if you did that as a Craig test and then a map test in 30 minutes, then I'd have the 15 minutes condensed info about Hexology, which I'd fucking love, and then I'd see you perform a trick back on that, or vice versa, and I'd be fully engaged. I'd be getting the same content, the same delivery, but it'd be more effort put into one video, which is ultimately shorter in general than 2 together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that. I think you'd get people. I think your average duration, people would watch the whole thing. They wouldn't tune out. Like I know I missed really good information at the end of that video. Probably there's some key details you probably brought up or Matt has brought up about Hexology in the end of that video, but you know, I'm not going to sit through half an hour, and no disservice to you or anyone, I'm not going to sit through half an hour of that. It's a quarter of an hour, yeah. But if it was half an hour and there's more than one thing in there, then fuck yeah, I'm going to do that. That's why I like the 5x5s. I always think the 5x5 is the best things you do because it's jam-packed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know what you're talking about. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, so maybe just like combining a few of the videos together. So instead of like 10 videos spread over the week, you do 5 videos. It's the same content, but they're just more juicy.
Yeah.
That way it's a win-win. You still get to make all the content. I am going to watch 10 videos. I only have to watch 5.
I'll think about it. How's that sound? And I want people
to
leave
it. Just try it. I mean, I'm trying it on my channel now. I'm just trying to do... Like my next tutorial isn't going to be specifically a tutorial Tuesday. It's just a tutorial of a gimmick idea. And I'm just putting a lot more effort into to make it more watchable. So people end up getting all the information from it. May work, may fail. But it's change, isn't it? It's what we were sort of talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about change, there's one more thing I want to talk about before we move on. I want to know what you think of Basecamp.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I was like, sounds familiar.
Yeah. have they taken the Magic Podcast meetup and just turned it into their thing?
It sounds like it. Who cares, though?
Yeah, it was... it's a safe place you can return to anytime you need to, and it's free. I mean, they're making... I don't know what to think about it. I don't know. They get a special badge to let everyone know you're a base camper. Being a base camper is an awesome collective, and this will help. So how do you get to second base? You get to third base. Yeah, okay, it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Vanishing Ink have announced Basecamp. We've all felt overwhelmed at the idea of coming to a magic convention. What if you don't know anyone? Are people friendly? Who will you chat with? This year, we're proud to announce new offerings designed for first-timers for those who want to make more friends feel welcome. A session veteran, no cost involved, just an optional service. We're calling it Basecamp. You get welcome events where first timers are invited to a breakout room where they get to meet your hosts, Josh and Andy, and other friends to be. Other friends to be. We'll make sure you're welcome properly and get to meet each other. friendships can be formed here that will last a lifetime. Then you get special base camp tables. The idea of eating alone can feel intimidating, so this should be a reserving special tables in the convention area exclusively as base camp. These tables will be marked with table tents and will often have hosts present to help people get to know each other, to encourage you all to help each other with moves or tricks, whether you're working on new tricks or just want to see some cool magic. Okay, I just think you kind of segregating people away. It's like one of the cool things for me about going to conventions is seeing those I remember when I first went to the Blackpool Magic Convention, I'm like, oh my God, there's Patrick Page. Oh my God, there's David Roth. And you go to somewhere like the Ruskin and you're like, oh my God, I'm standing here having a drink with Mario Lopez. I'm standing here having a drink with this person, with that person.
Yeah, but bear in mind that you're ultra confident.
Yeah, that's true. I am.
You're ultra confident. I wasn't. I'm kind of confident, but I definitely wasn't when I went to my first magic convention. But I think it was who was it? Rich Relish's idea anyway for the whole meetup, give people badges. We can't take credit for it. Neither can Vanishing, because I think it was Rich Relish's idea that we just implemented and give him credit for. As with most things that we create these days, is Rich Relish's idea.
Yeah. It all comes back to Rich Relish at the end of the day, let's be honest.
But I can't see any negatives in it. The only negative I can see, and this is just reaching because we've already done like the meetup, the whole magic podcast at Blackpool meetup thing, we didn't get badges in time, did we? But it was a meet and greet and people got to know each other. Is that it can confine you to not want to go out, and it can't gently push you to being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a reach, really.
Yeah. It's nice that Vanishing Ink are making an effort, because I have felt that sometimes the session, which is the convention that's meant to be everyone sessioning each other, has been a little bit closed off in a certain place.
The thing is, it never used to be. It used to be wicked in Gloucester. It was just like, it's like, you know, when you go to primary school, you're all just there. You're all getting the same diseases from each other. That's more like comp, but you know what I mean? And then it definitely has lost that charm, that element to it since moving. So I guess they're trying to bring it back, maybe in a structured way.
Yeah, I think they probably are. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm trying to think, would I be part of base? Would I go to base camp if I was going as my first convention? I'm trying to think really, like, honestly. Yeah, do you know what? I think I probably would.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Or I'd just sit in my room like a fucking loser, like I normally do.
Oh, dear me. Okay, that's cool. We've been going a while. This has been a really interesting podcast because we've just literally talked about a whole bunch of different stuff in one section. I think we've covered the controversy thing with YouTube. It's been really interesting. But I do want to talk about new products. Is that all right, Lloyd, very quickly? Because
yeah, fine.
And we obviously talked about some of our own shit. We
talked about the important stuff. Go on. No, let's go.
Have you seen anything new recently that...
No.
Fair enough. Thanks for being present here, mate.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Huh?
Welcome to my TED Talk. No, it's there's definitely new stuff out. I just haven't been looking.
Yeah. I haven't really seen much. What's this? This is something that's currently Murphys are pushing hard. The opener by Adrian Vega. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. I don't know what it is.
No, me neither. It says, after a funny gag, imagine making appear just one folded card at your fingertips. Then the spectator thinks of one number and a suit, totally free choice to create a unique card. The big surprise is when you open that card, it's a thought of card, just like that. And the best part is it's super easy to do. Nothing to switch, nothing to hide. Just enjoy the funny presentation. Tested during more than 10 years, being part of Agent's professional repertoire. Since he shared the opener only in his lectures from 2018, the opener is practically a secret shared only between top professional magicians using it in their professional shows, as you can hear from the testimonials of George Blass and Scott Wells. Remember, everything is included, completes with a special handmade gimmicks out of real bicycle cards, a silk, everything you need to perform. Just open the box, watch the tutorial, it'll be in your repertoire forever. Very easy to do, pack super small and plays huge, perfect for close-up and parlor. Direct, clean, and powerful. The opener is a perfect trick.
Sounds wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. $100.
Oh, shit. Sounds all right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly, but there's live performances of people doing it here. I'm looking at... I don't really know what it is, to be perfectly honest. I'm looking at a video and... I don't really know. Maybe. I'm not too sure. It sounds interesting. It sounds very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any other products? No. Good. Okay. Cool. No. Can you think of anything else? Does that like glaringly?
Penguin have got this thing out called Gatekeeper. That looks good. Rain Man by Vincent.
Pardon?
Rain Man by Vincent Hedan.
If I hear of another trick called Rain Man, I'm going to throw myself out of a box of matches and kill me. Well, no, what's it about?
This secret allowed me to win first place in mentalism at the French National Championship in 2008. It got me into the 4F group in the USA. It got me an award of merit at the Canadian National Championships in 2012. In this book, I explain the Rain Man routine in detail. Warning, you absolutely need to master a stack for these routines. The book uses Quantum Rix's mnemonica stack and provides help for stacks by Aronson, Osterlind, and Rix. Once the book's principles are understood, you can apply any non-repetitive stack. The routine uses special decks, and the book explains several ways of preparing them yourself so that you can use your preferred stack and your preferred back design. Don't really tell you what it is. It just charges $115 for a book and says that you need to know mnemonica.
Oh.
Okay.
Sounds great.
You got Equilibrium by Michael Murray. You heard of that one?
What's that about? But it's Michael Murray, so instantly it's a...
Equilibrium is far more than a single effect. It's a modular system which will allow you to perform a wide variety of different effects. At its core, this system allows you to offer a refreshing new way of controlling your participants' choices without the use of equivoque. Despite offering your participants genuine free choices, you'll always be in control of the end results. The system's versatile enough to be used in close-up and stage environments. The booklet contains an in-depth examination of the Equilibrium system and details several possible applications for its use. This includes a beautiful demonstration of influence, which requires nothing more than a handful of coins, a lottery prediction effect. These effects can be performed one-on-one or with multiple participants too. A link in the book will give owners access to performance videos. As an added bonus, you'll also learn Michael Stryker's Lucky Zodiac routine, which we feel is worth the price of the booklet alone.
Oh, hell yeah. Where is that available?
It's just been listed on Penguin, so I imagine it's a new, it's just coming to Murphy's. There you go, I've just sent you a link.
Thanks. Probably going to check that out.
Anything by Michael Murray is amazing. He's one of those people that you just know it's going to be good, isn't it?
Amazing.
To be honest, I think it's the calm before the magic live storm.
I think that's gearing up.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't want to blow their load before magic live.
Are you excited for it?
I am. I am actually. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I'll talk to you about Magic Live very quickly. There is one thing that I saw when I was at the Magic Circle. Rylan was demming on the Alakazam stand, and he was there with Peter Nardi and Jamie Dawes. And Jamie Dawes had a new trick out, and he taught Rylan, and Rylan was demming this trick. He was demming Knock 'Em Dead by Peter Nardi, The Apparition Coin Set by me, Ticket to Ride, which sold out. Thank you for everybody who picked it up. It sold out halfway through the day. My new trick, my new mentalism trick, which I believe you've been sent a copy of. So
I've got it, yeah.
And this by Jamie Dawes, which is Jamie Dawes' new trick. And Rye fooled me with this. This is brilliant. This is really, really good. Have you seen it?
No.
So what it is you bring out a folded up poster and a photograph, and the photograph just has a picture of a red balloon, and you give it to someone and they put their hand on it, right? You just give it to someone and put their hand on it. And then you open up this poster and you show us a picture of Pennywise the clown, and you're telling this story about how when you were a kid, you watched It and you were scared. And then at the bottom of the poster, there's that tagline from the It movies, "Where is the clown?" So now you just fold the poster back up again. And when you're telling the story about being scared of clowns because of It, you open the poster back up again. And now in the poster of, you know, it's a poster of It, Pennywise the clown has vanished. It's not there anymore.
Oh.
And then when they look at the Polaroid picture that they've been holding now, Pennywise is holding the red balloon in the picture that they've been holding the whole time.
That's actually pretty fucking cool.
It's
honestly, people, that may not sound like, I can imagine that plays really well. It may not sound like to most people that it, like it does, but so many people are fucking terrified of clowns, like just straight off the bat. Terrified of clowns, that I think just even like the introduction of it sometimes, something like that. That's cool. That's so not my type of thing.
Exactly. Can you just take your phone and go onto Instagram? Very quickly, you can see a 40-second performance of it. Just go onto Instagram.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Because I want you to see how good this is.
Hang on a minute. I'm just trying something, a new trick. Right, okay, send me the link.
Go to Instagram. Just go to Instagram and click on Ryland. I've just noticed he's just uploaded a video of him doing it to me that we shot a few days ago.
Okay.
Before I left for the States, I didn't realize he was putting it up.
Okay, yeah. Hold on.
The latest thing is put up.
By the way, for some reason Instagram's going slow. Mindhouse, my favorite new magic company, owned by Louis Laval, has just sent an email, so it's perfect timing, of their new product called Liminal Space, a PK touch gimmick by Louis Laval. Take everywhere, use it everywhere. Introducing Liminal Space, the hidden gem from the Mindhouse bargain bin. Unearth this enigmatic dusty booklet containing detailed instructions on how to construct a simple yet effective gimmick, allowing you to master the art of creating imperceptible touches, leaving your spectators in awe of sensations beyond their imagination. In the 17-page PDF, Lewis shows you how to make a very clever little gimmick using household items that should cost you no more than £1. And it's £5 to buy.
Wow.
Liminal Space. Mindhouse, MindHaus. So like house, MindHaus.co.uk. I actually advocate anyone to go buy everything from their site because it's fucking phenomenal. But that sounds good, doesn't it?
That sounds amazing. I love PK touches.
I've never once performed, I don't think. But I would do it. I should do it on Fula.
To Kaylee. Oh, you'd mess her up.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna watch this performance.
Very quickly look at it. Because honestly, I think
they told you red balloon.
Your sister.
No, Pennywise the clown.
Scary clown.
Yeah. I've got the balloon right here, yeah.
Okay.
Now you can see there's no one in there. Now I'm just you hold your hand down and give me that right there.
Okay. Yeah?
Now this is actually a person, I'm just gonna go
with
that. Okay. This and right.
Ah, scary clown. Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to do, if I snap my fingers, Pennywise is behind you.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
No. No.
Snap my fingers again. I'll open up my legs.
Yeah.
You can see that Pennywise is now gone. Just like
what? Where's the clown gone?
Now, if you actually look in your hand.
No.
That's so bad. That's actually cool. That's actually cool.
I love that.
That's actually cool. Honestly, I could see I'm so not into that type of magic, you know, but I actually think because it's just the mentioning of the word clown and the fact that it's like such a soundbite. Oh, the clown appeared in my photograph. Like, it's actually cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice find. Where's that from?
Jamie Dawes. You can get it directly from Jamie. Alec's Amherstocking it as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, good show.
Yeah.
Good show. There we go.
I don't think we've got anything else to talk about, Lloyd. I mean, the last 20 minutes you've mentally checked out. You're now making card gimmicks after doing some video.
Oh, yeah, I don't give a fuck anymore, man. I'm done.
The fact that people say that men can't multitask is just so wrong when you can run a podcast and at the same time just watch snooker, video edits.
You can watch it. Yeah.
You know, when people eventually get our gaff deck, which will come out at some point, they'll realize that, you know, you need to realize that 90% of the gaffes were designed by Lloyd whilst filming the Magic Podcast. So, you know.
So you're welcome. There you go.
So thank you once again for joining us here. Next Wednesday, Lloyd, if you're around, I can give you because I'll still be in the States then, but I'll be in Vegas and Magic Live will have been going on for a few days. So I can give you the skinny of what's going on at the Magic Live convention.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Go on, then.
I'll go and look around.
I'm more excited. Yeah, cool.
I'll go around the dealer hall. I'll find out the stuff that's good. And I will present it to everybody to, look at.
That's cool. Maybe we could do it live.
Yeah, I reckon I can do that.
What time will it be in Vegas then?
8 hours behind. So, if I do it at like 10 o'clock like I have now, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Right now in California, it's 4 a.m. It's midday here. So you won't be able to do it live because I won't be doing it any later in the day. I can't be fucked.
So I'll just stay up and I'll do it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And,
okay.
That's fine. Right. But I'll tell you all about what's happened the day before. Who needs sleep? Fuck it. You know, I'll just die.
I thought you said, you need sheep, fuck it. And I was like, well, it's a thing.
Right, Lloyd, I know you've got a lot to do today. I know you're very, very busy. Thank you once again for joining me and just being super awesome. You got anything else to say?
I'm shit weak, cunt.
Again, it feels more personal these days than it used to. It feels like you're just saying it to me. You know, it really does. It feels it's got a little bit of venom in it this time. I don't know. But yes, as he said, have a shit week. If Lloyd can be bothered, we'll be back again next Wednesday. Live.
Take it on time. We'll be back again next Wednesday.
There's no planes fucking me over, so I'll definitely be here. I'll tell you what's hot and what's not in Magic Live. I'll let you know what happens when I inevitably meet Michael Webber. And so I'll let you know what happens at the Black Party that I've been invited to. I'll tell you what happens when I bump into, Luke Dancy, Michael Webber, Geraint Clark, any of those stupid cunts that seem to hate me. I will let you know exactly what happens when that happens at the at the convention.
You're just a lovable rogue.
If I'm not buried in the desert, I'll be back next Wednesday. So I might be somewhere in the Nevada desert, like recreating the fucking scene from Casino at the end with Joe Pesci. But if I'm not, I'll be here next Wednesday with another Magic Podcast.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks very much for watching, guys. We'll see you next week.
Back off.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.